We're in 1 Thessalonians, but this time is chapter 2. So would you open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? And I'll read just a few verses, not the whole chapter, but we should be addressing the whole chapter. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's read from verse 5 for a few verses. From verse 5. For now that any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have. We made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God, and you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. We'll stop there for a moment and go back to the beginning of chapter 2. I was just scanning through the gospel. Different verses will be helpful. Notice in chapter 2, verse 2. Chapter 2 and verse 2. Notice here how the apostles were entrusted with the gospel. We're bold in our God to speak to the gospel of God in much conflict. They were trusted with the gospel. We might say, because they traveled and traveled and traveled so much, they were the gospel in shoe leather, keeping walking, keeping going, sharing the gospel wherever they went. And that was Paul's calling. But you notice in the verses that we read, Paul was not intending to flatter anyone at all. He wanted to be truly faithful to the Lord and faithful to those who were listening to him. He didn't give any praise to himself. Look in verse 5. We do not come to you from deceit or uncleanness, nor was it in guile, no craftiness. We wanted to be faithful in all that we did. We're not praising ourselves. We're not trying to hide so-called covetousness. We're not greedy for anything. So Paul and his colleagues, and you can see in the beginning of the letter in chapter 1, verse 1, it was Paul, Silvanus, or Silas, and Timothy, the three of them, as they were writing the letter to these Christians in Thessalonica. Now remember also in the first place, in Acts 17, Paul was only there for 3 weeks, but he taught them a great deal. Just 3 weeks. And they were genuine, they were faithful in all their preaching, they were open to these dear Christians as they were now, and he was honest among them and gentle especially. No harsh words, because they were suffering at the hands of opposition. They were being persecuted. So Paul didn't want to be hard on them at all. He wanted to be gentle among them. You can see that in verse 10. If you look in verse 10, you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. They were very gentle in their approach to these suffering Christians. And that was very important as well. And he says, look, I'm not deceitful in my preaching. I wasn't after gain. I'm not giving any smooth words, he said. I'm telling you the truth. But I'm not having any guile or craftiness. In other words, I'm not putting on a cloak covering up my covetousness. I'm not like that, said Paul. There's no pretense in what I'm saying, he said. I'm giving you a genuine gospel and genuine teaching. I'm not after any support from you at all. I do this for you. And he did it, of course, in order that these Thessalonians had only heard Paul preaching for 3 weeks, but they would turn to the Lord, and this church was formed in Thessalonica. And as you know, he wrote these two letters with only a short time between the two letters. So he wasn't concerned with gaining converts, we say, like head counting or pew filling. That was not his concern. Sad to say, we do find that some people are preaching a nice, pleasing, comfortable message and just filling the church. I think if you preach the gospel firmly, they empty the church. However, there it is. So Paul and his friends, Paul, Silas, Timothy, these three, they were very warm-hearted to these Christians who were having a hard time from those who were against them. And they wanted to be affectionate to them in Christian love, to support them and comfort them in some way. And he uses a phrase, if we look at verses 7 and 8, look in 7 and 8 here. We were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, my own lives, because you have become dear to us. What a lovely comment. He was very warm-hearted. He wanted to be to these young Christians. He'd only been there 3 weeks, remember, young Christians in the faith. And he wanted to come to them, and he wanted to comfort them, and he wanted to, in other words, make sure that he was like a nursing mother caring for her babies, or like a mother hen fluttering over her chickens and protect them under her wing where they needed it. That's a good example there. And the Lord is like that to us, shelter under his wing, shall we say. So Paul and his friends, very warm-hearted Christians and affectionate to these Christians who are having a hard time. Now around the world today, let's bring it right up to date, there are Christians who are really suffering for Christ as their witness to him, and they're suffering as a result. And we need not only to pray for them, but in some measure, through different ministries or mission, support them and help them and let them know we're with them in prayer and concern. A lot of these Christians need financial support as well, but that's another story. But Paul and his friends wanted to be like a mother caring for her babies, like an apostle and a good pastor caring for those who are in, shall we say, the flock at Thessalonica. Now, Paul wasn't any burden to them. You can see that, they were, in fact, working for themselves. And they weren't seeking any financial support, Paul, Silas, or Timothy, from them, not at all. And they were supporting themselves. Now, Paul was a tent maker. Now, if you want to check that out, you can check it out later on in Acts chapter 18 and verse 3. You find there that Paul was a tent maker, along with Priscilla and Aquila, also in Rome, tent making. So that was Paul's way of earning his own living, making tents. Yes, he was. So Paul understood what it was, as he said elsewhere, to be in a time of need and to be in a time of plenty. So he knew very much how Christians could suffer, even financially. So this is how it was. Paul was a tent maker when he needed to be. Yes, he had gifts sent to him, but he never asked for money, but he was always grateful where there was support. Now, if you look in verse 9 here, you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. In other words, night and day, he was tent making. So it wasn't any financial burden to them at all. And Paul makes that known to them. So we preach to you the gospel of God. That's very commendable when you think about that. So there's these believers that Paul encouraged, and he exhorted them to go on with the Lord. He was only there 3 weeks. Not very long, but he did a lot with them as well. And he says, if you look down to verse 12 for a moment, look down to verse 12. He said, I desire that you would live a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. What a great privilege lies ahead for every believer, entering into God's company and into the glory of the Lord. What an experience that will be. We can't even imagine it. So one day there will be the crowns to wear, and I feel sure we'll cast them at the feet of Jesus. And I'd like, if you will, just for a moment, to go back from here, Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians, just a few pages before Colossians, you've got Philippians. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1, would you? Ephesians chapter 1, and look at a few verses in chapter 1, and verses 10 to 14. Chapter 1, 10 to 14. Let's just see them. Ephesians 1, 10 to 14. The Apostle Paul explains their position in Christ and how they got to know the Lord. He says, in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he, that Christ, might gather together in one all things in Christ, as the Father's will, both which are in heaven, people already there, and which are on the earth, you and me, in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Isn't that wonderful? Eternal life in the presence of the Lord in heaven and the millennium, being predestined according to the purpose of him as God's will, who works all things according to the counsel of his own will. He works his own purposes out. Verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In other words, we praise him and one day he will praise us, as Peter tells us. In him you also trusted, verse 13, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption or final redemption of the person's possession, to the praise of his glory. Yes, it will be. Praise him. We have a purchased possession. We have a guarantee of our inheritance. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Can you increase that security? No way. We are so secure in Christ. That's a wonderful truth, isn't it? All right, back to 1 Thessalonians then. One thing that is important is that we please the Father. We please the Father. That's important. And please the Lord Jesus, of course, at the same time. Very important. Now, the Apostle Paul never promoted himself. He was prepared to earn his own living by a tent maker. But he had gifts coming in, yes. But in Paul's service for the Lord, he didn't want to burden other people to support him. Now, Paul had come to this particular city. Let's go back to the very beginning in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17. Don't go back there. It doesn't matter. In chapter 17, Paul came to Thessalonica. He was there 3 weeks. And he came to a place where there were no believers at all. And sometimes we tend to forget that. He went into the synagogue. He preached the gospel in the streets. He preached the good news of the gospel of Christ. He offered salvation in him through repentance and faith in Christ's redeeming work at the cross. That's the gospel. And it's the good news of God. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's the good news. So in the 3 weeks that Paul was there in Thessalonica, people were saved. They formed this particular church through Paul's faithful witness and testimony to the gospel. Now, Paul and his friends were very bold in their witness. They were not afraid of opposition. And they often suffered from opposition. You'll find there's a whole long list of Paul's suffering. I think it's in 2 Corinthians 10, I think, going by memory. But they suffered from their enemies, those who opposed them, Jew and Gentile, and they had a lot of opposition. In Acts 17, verses 5 to 9, we won't go there now, but remember that when Paul was in Philippi, he was preaching the gospel, and his enemies didn't like it. They threw him in prison, and he was there with his friends. And in that prison, they sang praises to the Lord, though they'd been beaten up. And there was this earthquake. And the Philippian jailer was saved. And before that, Lydia was also saved. So both households formed the church at Philippi. And if you look in 1 Thessalonians now, chapter 2, look in verse 2, and you can see what Paul was talking about, how he suffered in Philippi. but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated in Philippi. Well, you know that's in Acts. As you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you of the gospel of God in much conflict. Paul was prepared to do that even though he had a lot of opposition. We can have opposition if we witness. Easily done. A lot of people out there do not want to know anything about obeying Christ, so they give us opposition. So Paul and Silas were in prison. They were beaten up. Then there was the earthquake. The jailer was saved. Jailer was already saved. And their families cared and healed the wounds of Paul and Silas who'd been in there in prison. So when Paul was bold here, although he remembered the conflicts and affliction, persecution and imprisonment in Philippi, here they were still bold in their witness. It didn't change them at all. Now, in the Greek language, the word for bold is interesting. And very often one Greek word, you can't be understood in one English word. Often you need a sentence to explain it. So the word in Greek for the word bold means making a strong public declaration of the gospel amidst contention. I'll read that again. The word for bold in the Greek is making a strong public declaration of the gospel amidst contention, opposition, persecution. And the Greek word is agoni, A-G-O-N-I, like the word agony. They had earnest, bold preaching and witnessing with good behavior so no one could make accusation against them. And they wanted to please the Lord. Look in verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians, would you? Chapter 2, and look in verse 10. Your witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. Well, that's very commendable, isn't it? No one could point an accusing finger. You're not living right. No, not a bit of it. So Paul himself was there preaching, witnessing with boldness, with good behavior, and pleasing God. Would you just for a moment slip back to Ephesians chapter 4? Go back to there once again, would you? Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. And just look at the first three verses of Ephesians 4. First three verses of Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, and he's in Rome, beseech you, plead with you, to lead a life worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, humility, and gentleness, with long suffering, patience, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, don't let any friction come in fellowship between believers. Endeavor, work at keeping the peace between Christians and lead a life worthy of your calling as a believer with lowliness and gentleness. There's an example, and Paul was just like that. So that's very important, isn't it? And you know, the Apostle Paul was always wanting to please the Lord. That's so important, to please the Lord by the way we live, our speech, everything else. Pleases Jesus. That's very important. And we need to keep that in mind. Jesus said he always pleased the Father. That's in John 8, verse 29. Jesus always pleased the Father. Now, the two references I like to look at. So let's change our place in the Bible and go back, please, to the previous letter, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And look at two verses, Colossians chapter 1, and look at verse 10. This is exactly what Paul was saying to the Christians at Thessalonica. Colossians 1, verse 10. He says that you may lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. My, that, I tell you something, you could preach a sermon for an hour on that one. Lead a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him, fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, that's Christian growth. That's Christian maturity. Walking with the Lord and growing up. Now, in the same chapter, please, go to verse 19. Verse 19. Think how the Father and the Son were all pleased with each other. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, that's Jesus, his Son, all the fullness should dwell. The fullness of deity. Jesus was God the Son. And he pleased his Father in everything that he did, as I said in John 8, verse 29. Go back to 2 Corinthians now, would you? Just one verse. 2 Corinthians this time. And we want chapter 5. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at a verse there. Verse 9. It was the aim of the Apostle Paul writing to these Corinthian Christians. Unto you and me. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, whether with you or with, not with you, to be well pleasing to him. Always wanting to please the Lord Jesus. That's something for us all. Always wanting to please the Lord in the way we speak, the way we act, the way we meet other people. That's so important. Just as Jesus pleased the Father, we should be pleasing Jesus. So going back to where we were before in Thessalonians. In Thessalonians. Lost my place for a moment. Find it. In chapter 2, that's where we are. So Paul's purpose and his preaching was very positive. It was powerful, you can imagine that, and it was pure in the sight of God and man. No one could point a finger at him and say, well, you're all wrong up there, your behavior is not right. Not at all. In fact, if you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, back there again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and look at verses 3 to 6. 3 to 6 of chapter 2. For our exhortation, or our encouraging preaching, did not come from deceit or uncleanness, nor was it in guile, no craftiness. But we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. I trust that's the same for you and me. Genuine, clean, no craftiness, no deceit, approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. So important there. Even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, he says, but God. Not pleasing men, but God, pleasing him, who tests our hearts, who examines us. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, not trying to deceive you and hide things. God is a witness. For nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ, but they never did, of course. That's very important, that is. So Paul was gentle among these Christians. His behavior was right. And these Christians were suffering, so he wanted to be gentle. He wanted to be loving, he said to them. I want to be like a nursing mother towards babies. I want to care for you in the way I write to you, where I want to encourage you. He was very gentle. And, you know, for you and I, our speaking to other Christians, especially our non-Christians, our speech, and as we are the Lord's people, how we speak to others is very important. Sometimes we hear arguments between Christians and strong words. People get angry. No, that's not it. It shouldn't be like that. And Paul was particularly pointing this out. He loved these Christians very fervently, like a father, which it was like he was like that as well. And he wanted to be like a nursing mother, a baby, caring for these Christians who were having a hard time. And they weren't mature Christians. They were young Christians, young in the faith, not necessarily young in years. But he loved these believers fervently, and like a father too, as in verse 10 and 11. You are witnesses in God also how devoutly and justly and blamelessly behave ourselves among you who believe. As you know, verse 11, as you know how we exhorted, comforted and charged everyone who, as a father does his own children. He cared for them as his own children. That's chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 there. So all that was so concerned. And he says in verse 13, let's make no mistake about this. Was it Paul's own ideas he was saying? Was it Paul's own imagination? Not a bit of it. Verse 13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. He said, this is not my opinion. We shouldn't be preaching our opinions. We should be preaching and teaching the word of God. Very important. It's not what I think. It's what the word of God says, and try and explain it as what the word actually means. So that's important, all that. In other words, the Apostle Paul, he wanted to speak the truth effectively. And he wanted to go through his life while pleasing to the Lord, not to be a stumbling block to other Christians. He was entrusted with the gospel. Now, if you go on to back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you'll find here that there was opposition, not just from men, but Satan opposed the work of God. Satan opposes the word of God. Satan opposes the work of God. Look in 17 and 18 at the end of the chapter. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time, in presence but not in heart, Paul was always thinking about them, but away at a distance, endeavoring more earnestly and eagerly to see your face, great desire. We wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, several times, but Satan hindered us. Well, that's sometimes difficult to think about that, isn't it? Why did God allow Satan to hinder his work? Sometimes we can't answer that. But he says to these people, look, I wanted to come and see you, but there was a hindrance here. Now that word hindered there is an interesting word in the Greek. It means to break up the road. Now, if you and I travel down the roads locally here, we find there's some roadworks going on. There are places to miss out or diversion in roads. And it's a bit difficult, isn't it? And the road is broken up, which makes our journey a little more difficult. It was here too. Satan tried to hinder the work, break up the road of the gospel, going forward, try and hinder it. And that's what that means, to break up the road. But nevertheless, the Apostle Paul wanted to express his joy. Look in verses 19 and 20 as we close. 19 and 20. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 and 20. We wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, verse 19, or joy, or crown of rejoicing, these believers? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Oh my, that made it all worthwhile to the Apostle Paul to see these people coming to know the Lord for salvation, forming a church at Thessalonica. He was only there 3 weeks when he writes to them here. You are our hope to see you in heaven, he says, and we'll be with you. We know you'll be there. A joy or crown of rejoicing. He's going to get several crowns, I'm sure, but he casts them before the Lord, that's for sure. So all that's important. One day, the Apostle Paul here was expressing his joy. They're all going to be with me in heaven. We'll all see them again, he said. And he says, this is my joy, to see you in heaven at last. And one day, all the true church, every believer, everyone in the true church is going to be with the Lord. And Satan cannot touch it. You hinder us down here, you won't hinder us going there. And Satan will be finally overcome, as we know, in the end, in the lake of fire, later on. Now, just to be very practical about this, if you go to James, go on to James chapter 1, would you? I'll let you find it. It's important. And we'll finish in a moment. In James chapter 1, James is a very practical letter. He's saying, show me your faith by your works. Very true. Chapter 1, and we want verse 27. James 1, verse 27. Let you find it. James chapter 1, and verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble, practical, reaching people in need. And this is it. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Not tainted. Not having their evil ways rubbed off onto us. No, not at all. You and I are called to be untainted. He calls us to purity of holiness, of life. It's not easy. And to have right behavior, right speaking, right attitudes, not aggressive, exhorting and encouraging other Christians. And it must be backed up by excellent living. Some people might say, I can't hear what you say in your words because your manner of life is not right. No. Our own speech and what we say must be backed up by the way we live. I want to close with two verses in Jude. Just before Revelation, you've got Jude. It's interesting that Jude is just before Revelation. Jude, just before Revelation, just one chapter. Remember that we should encourage others, and it must be backed up by excellent living and excellent speaking. Jude, verse 20. And 24. Jude, verse 20 and 24. This is what the writer says. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Build yourself up. Pray as the Holy Spirit guides. Make sure you keep yourselves in God's love, Father's love, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal. In other words, the Lord's coming, looking for it. That's what he says. Very important there. And verse 24 now. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You can do it, and he's going to do it. He's going to take us up to be with him when he comes for us. He's going to present us faultless into his presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Oh, yes, of course, it'll be exceeding joy. And he praises the Lord at the end of verse 25. So he says, make sure in your life that your life adds up to your speaking. And to live untainted and unspotted Christian life in this world where there's much tainted life. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The apostle was entrusted with the gospel. He encouraged his Christian friends. His preaching was positive. Satan tried to hinder the work, as he always does. And in the light of that, Paul ministers to us in this letter, one of the first letters ever written in about AD 50, thereabouts. And yet here we have the letter so further on as a ministry to us and to live unspotted, untainted, undamaged, unspoiled lives in the world around us. You find much of that. For us, be unspotted, untainted, clean, and pure living. This is what encourages other Christians to see us without a stumbling block to anyone else. And the Apostle Paul was always loving to these other Christians, and so should we be as well. Bold in our preaching, bold in our witnessing, bold in our living, and living as pleasing Christ and pleasing our Heavenly Father. May the Lord bless this word to each one of us and encourage us as we walk with him and walk in Christian love with each other. Amen.